Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of something good to wake you up. I like that. Good and hot right out of the old Keurig. Oh, well, it was a little bit of a rough night. Woke up, had a hard time getting back to sleep. Then I got back to sleep, and then the dog wanted out. So then I let the dog out, and I went back to bed, and I got back to sleep. And just to wake up to the dog licking my hand because she wanted attention. So Ginger is joining us today, laying in her bed with her head propped up on the side rest of it, and is dozing off because she doesn't hear her name being mentioned to draw her attention. Oh, well, today is Monday. It is the 7th of August. Kids are on the final countdown back to school. Final, family trips are being completed. And the summer is drawing to a close. Oh, I hate that, but that's life. That's the cycle of the year. We go from season to season, and frankly, I wouldn't want to live in a part of the world where you didn't have seasons. I enjoy them, and I enjoy the promises of summer. Oh, but I don't know how many of those promises hold true anymore. But anyway, the topic I wanted to talk about today kind of came together just with a few random memories that popped into my head that kind of tell an interesting story. It starts about a week or two ago with one of the grandkids asking me the difference between a house and a home. Well, you know what? That's a good question. That is a good question. And so I explained it that day to him, that a house is a structure. It's the building. If you are, on the market to buy a house, or you're needing to rent a house or even an apartment, what you're renting is, or buying is, the structure. And there's different styles, and some of them come with a variety of different furnishings already in there. For example, drapes or blinds, carpet, linoleum, hardwood, different things that kind of set it apart. Sometimes if you're buying a house in order to sell it, the owner may purchase some furniture to make it look a little bit lived in. They may rent that furniture, they may purchase it to kind of make it not look so bare, so it's a little bit more warm and inviting. And when you see houses in movies or on commercials, or if you go to, modular home or manufactured home place and you walk through, there's decorations that are up on the walls and stuff like that. But nothing's really personal, is it? Nothing is personal. And I explained how a home is, there's evidence in the house that there is, in essence, there's a family there. It may be a family of just one. It's a single person living there. It may be evidence of that there are children of various ages in the home. It may be where there's just a couple, or maybe just a single person, but the house has been a home and there is evidence of the family from the past when they lived there, and those kinds of things. And that seemed to answer his question pretty well as to what it was. And I've kind of thought about that question off and on again since having that little conversation. And this past week, there was a garage sale at a church that I went to as a, you know, a fundraiser. And I was, you know, I just popped in there. I wasn't necessarily looking for anything in particular, but, you know, hey, I wanted to check it out. And the different kinds of wall decorations or things like that, so many of them looked like they just came from Hobby Lobby. Now, I'm not knocking Hobby Lobby stuff. They've got some pretty cool decorating things. But you could put those things in any person's house and it would fit in. It's not stuff that really reflects the home as much as it reflects the house. You know, if you have furniture, if it is, you know, looks brand new, it comes across as more of the house. But if you've got a well-worn chair or a well-worn couch, not saying that's in bad shape. I'm just saying there's evidence that it's been used or used in a particular way. Then that's kind of that home part. It's a sign that, you know, this has been lived in. I have a few rocking chairs that have been passed down in the family, and one of them is needing to be reupholstered, and I hate to do it in a way, but the fabric has, you know, has some holes in it and stuff. But it was my great grandpa Henry Quicksaw's chair, and there's a photo from the 1940s or 50s of him and goodness, I'm blanking out. Josie, his wife Josie, sitting in their matching chairs in their house. You know, from 70 some years ago, 80 years ago. And to think, you know, a little bit about the character, the well-wornness that he sat in that chair. And then other people over the years sat in that chair. And when I'm saying it's that old, that's just trying to guess when the photograph was taken. Several years ago, and some of you, if you've heard me listen to the podcast for a while, you know that I worked for several years in the hospice field. I was a hospice social worker, and I went around to people's homes, you know, getting people, doing initial assessments on families, on the person who's the patient, and working with them to, you know, with education and anticipatory grief counseling and stuff to help them go through the experience better. And so I visited well over 1,000 homes over the decade plus that I was in the field. And there's one house that stands out to me. And the couple and the evidence of the home inside. It was out in the country. I couldn't tell you which county it was in anymore, because it's, I'm going back 20 years at least. And they, there was a couple of outbuildings on this old farmstead, but it was kind of that, what I call a traditional square cubed two-story farmhouse. And when I went there, I met this very delightful elderly couple. I don't recall their ages exactly, but I would say they were probably late 80s, early 90s, something like that. Just an adorable couple. And I had the pleasure of them telling me over a few visits their life story. And they got married in the 1930s. If I'm remembering right, I haven't done the math to add things quite right, but that's what I'm remembering. And they lived with her parents for the first year of their marriage. And that wasn't that uncommon, especially in the Depression. I mean, you had families that, multi-generational households, because it was the Depression. But during that year, he was building by hand the house that I was standing in. And there was definitely a sense of pride as he was describing how he built it, the little features that he put into it in order to make it the best home for him and his wife. Now, did he expect to live in that house his entire life then with her? I don't know if he had that thought at the beginning, but that's what happened. Now, he was the caregiver, his wife was the patient. And as he's telling the story, he's talking about how they moved in, had everything boxed and crated up, and it took a while to get what they had into the house. And they had one room upstairs that, you know, kind of collected the different boxes and things that would later be unpacked. And they set up their housekeeping, and as often was the case back then, usually within a year or 2 years, the first child would come along. And they had a good-sized family for that time period. What we would consider, oh my gosh, that's a huge family, how can you have so many kids? That was normal then. That was totally normal. Now, some people may say, oh, the house is kind of cluttered. It wasn't. It was not a hoarder's house by any means. It was not a messy house by any means. But it sure didn't look like those museum houses that you see on television or in the movies. It was a lived-in home. And the home told the story of this family's life. It told the story of their life. In the kitchen, you had little whatnot shelves. And it wasn't filled with different little knickknacks that they got at Hobby Lobby. It was for those rare trips that they took. And she would pick up something that she thought would look cute in the kitchen. My mom did that. She had those kinds of things. You know, items in the house from her honeymoon or from this trip or that trip. There was one wall in the house that was filled with plates. I don't know if you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about. But that was a thing. If you went somewhere or if there was a celebration in a town, you know, the 100th anniversary of whatever town or what have you, or, you know, anniversary plate, you would get a plate. Somebody would give you a plate or you would purchase a plate. And they had them, one wall of their home was dedicated to all the different collectible plates. Not collecting like, okay, we're collecting the president's faces on plates. No. But plates that reflected what they did in their life. There was an assortment of salt shakers on a little, in a little curio cabinet. Because again, over the decades, there have been different things that people would collect from different circumstances or places. One of the things that struck me the most, and I don't even think you can buy them anymore, but they were large scrapbooks, I guess you would call them. They were probably, I don't know, I'm taking my hands here to kind of measure, Close, maybe a little bit smaller, but they were like 2 foot by 3 foot in size. They had a large sheet of construction paper, you know, for you to put either photos or newspaper clippings, you know, things you want, scraps of things you wanted to save. And they had the paper you could buy and add more to it because it was, the spine was simply laced up with a cord. And there were several of those on their dining room table. Now, they had a small dining room and a small dining room table, and they had lots of mementos and photos of the children and photos of family members in that room covering the walls. And there were these several of these books, scrapbooks, on the table. And I was saying, you know, I was asking about them. And again, they both took pride in saying, oh, let me show you these. And they opened up. And from the start of their marriage, anytime there was a newspaper clipping of somebody that they knew or of a family member or of them, they cut it out and put it in these scrapbooks. Now, I can't remember exactly how many scrapbooks, but there was quite a few. And he opened up different ones, and as he opened them up, because I was talking with the husband most, the wife was kind of tired. It was like walking through a journey of that year. And he didn't have to read the articles that were attached to photos or anything in order to be able to tell the story. They just came to his mind. He would see that and his gears would turn into his head, and it was like, oh, this is when such and such, such and such, and there'd be a story with it. And we sat and we looked at those for quite a while. And then he sadly said, I don't know what's going to happen to these. I don't know what's going to happen to these because who's going to be interested in keeping them? So we actually sat and brainstormed, a local library or a local genealogy society or historical group may be interested in adopting and taking care of those, because while it wasn't the entire newspaper and it wasn't everybody in the community, they knew a lot of people in their community, so it was quite a few. Just, it was an amazing home. You know, they showed me the pictures of their kids. You know, the different things that were hand crocheted, like doilies, which again, that was a popular thing for that generation. And quilts that were laid over top of, occasional chairs in the house or displayed, folded on the racks. It was just amazing. And one of the things that they shared that sparked my interest, sparked my curiosity, they said over the years, it took them a while to get, everything in its proper place. It took them a while to get that room emptied out from the stuff when they first moved into the house. But it also became a place where they would put things for storage also. And that a few years ago, they were going through up there and they found a box from when they moved in there in the 1930s that they never opened. And I said, oh my gosh, what did you find in it? And they chuckled and said, well, if we haven't needed it after all these years, we really don't need it now. We're going to leave the box sealed and our kids can open it. You know, a lot of people will decorate houses, especially if they move a lot. They decorate houses with, again, the stuff from Hobby Lobby, the stuff that you find at a resale shop, of all the little cute little things that you put on the walls, and they'll have nice sayings on them, you know, like "Good morning, sunshine," or something like that. And they're cute, they look nice, and I'm not knocking them. But there's so much more to letting a house look like a home than just having those little things in there. But having the stuff that shows over a lifetime the evidence of a family. And that couple had the house that, again, some people may say it was cluttered. I would say it was a busy museum of a couple who loved each other enough that they kept their wedding vows for a lifetime. That they got married during a time period of great distress in our country and in the world during the Great Depression. They were raising a family during the Second World War. They went through decade after decade of challenges as well as blessings. And here they were, approaching the end of their journey as husband and wife, and approaching the end of the journey of them as a couple, them as the nuclear family that they started. Now, their family was continuing on, but it was their children having raised their kids, and now the grandchildren raising their kids. So, difference between a house and a home. I hope your house is nicely decorated, but I hope that when you look around the walls, when you look at the different things, you're not just saying, "Oh, I remember when I got that at Hobby Lobby the other week," or, "Oh, I picked this up at a garage sale," you know. No, I hope it's filled with the memories, whether it's photos or knick-knack items that were not from a shopping trip, but from an experience that you had, that your family had, that you as a couple had. And let your home be a reflection of the family, of the life well lived. All right, that's it for today. Hope you enjoyed it. My elbow is getting cleaned by my puppy after she thoroughly cleaned my toes on my right foot. And it tickled, but I didn't really laugh or chuckle too loud. So anyway, you have a great day. Make the most of it. We'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.